The Greatest History Never Told. This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. You. Story at a glance. Ivor Cummins interviews Jacob Nordangard, a Swedish researcher and author, about the Great Reset and plans for a totalitarian future. The interview takes you on a journey from the late 19th century to present day, laying out the nefarious path of how we ended up in the place we are today, on the verge of takeover by a corrupted few. Nordangard is the author of Rockefeller, Controlling the Game, a book that explores how this prominent family funded and shaped key aspects of society, from environmental and climate research to education, medicine, politics and agriculture, all using propaganda techniques. The Rockefellers' goal was a transformation of the world's economy, culture and governments into a new world order, with the Rockefellers and their select cronies at the helm. Much of the New World Order's plans are based on crisis management, and the idea that a great crisis will occur that will lead to the Great Transition, where globalists will swoop in to save the day, transforming society into the promised paradise, which actually takes away sovereignty. A common mantra was chanted by world leaders during the COVID-19 pandemic: a great reset is necessary to build back better from the crisis and create a new sustainable future. This future is one led by a powerful global cartel eager to gain control over society and, ultimately, humanity. But this message of a new world order swooping in to save the masses from a fearful enemy didn't start during the pandemic. Its origins go much deeper. In the video above, 1. Ivor Cummins, a biochemical engineer with a background in medical device engineering and leading teams in complex problem solving, interviews Jacob Nordangard, a Swedish researcher and author who has a PhD in technology and social change, a master of social science in geography and a master of social science in culture and media production. Nordangard is the author of Rockefeller, Controlling the Game, a book that explores how this prominent family funded and shaped key aspects of society, from environmental and climate research to education, medicine, politics and agriculture, all using propaganda techniques. Their goal was a transformation of the world's economy, culture and governments, into a new world order, with the Rockefellers and their select cronies at the helm. The interview takes you on a journey from the late 19th century to present day, laying out the nefarious path of how we ended up in the place we are today, on the verge of takeover by a corrupted few. While the topics covered are a good primer, it is important to understand that the interview fails to uncover any information on Rockefeller's link to the Rothschild family, who are exponentially wealthier, as they have been global bankers for centuries before the Rockefellers started and are likely stealthily pulling their strings. The Rockefellers' rise to power. In the late 19th century, John D. Rockefeller became the richest man in the world. He started Standard Oil Corporation in 1870, which soon came under fire. In 1911, Standard Oil was ruled an unreasonable monopoly and split into 34 companies, which became Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, Amoco, Marathon and others. 2. To improve his image and exert more world control, Rockefeller got into philanthropy, allowing him to avoid taxation and put money into society in ways that would benefit his businesses. Rockefeller founded the University of Chicago and the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, allowing him to set the research agenda to further their own interests. Then, in 1913, John D. Rockefeller set up the Rockefeller Foundation. Around the same time, Andrew Carnegie, who was in the steel industry, also became very wealthy and set up a foundation. Nordangard explains. 3. The idea was to have this money and make it work for a new order of the world, and that was meant to be built on management philosophy, because they thought that the government of the day was not efficient, it was inefficient. So they thought it's better for us to influence the politics and direct it more international, because that's a very important thing with the foundation of their work. It was an internationalist course, and that was just for it to create this good world where we would have a big human family and all these buzzwords, but it was more about business. Meanwhile, at the time, Rockefeller still had an image problem. The foundation he created under his name was deemed a menace to the future political and economic welfare of the nation. The foundation, in partnership with Andrew Carnegie and educator Abraham Flexner, then set out to centralize U.S. medical schooling, orienting it to the germ theory of disease, which states that germs are solely responsible for disease and necessitate the use of pharmaceuticals to target said germs. With that narrative in hand, Rockefeller financed the campaign to consolidate mainstream medicine, adopt the philosophies of the growing pharmaceutical industry and shutter its competition. Rockefeller's crusade caused the closure of more than half of U.S. medical schools, fostered public and press scorn for homeopathy, osteopathy, chiropractic, nutritional, holistic, functional, integrative and natural medicines, and led to the incarceration of many practicing physicians. 4. What many don't realize, however, is that the Rockefeller Foundation was the precursor to the World Health Organization and also played an important role in the transition of the League of Nations to the United Nations. 5. 6. The shapers of our future. In 1940, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund was set up to act as the philanthropic arm for the five Rockefeller brothers, the grandchildren of John D. Rockefeller, John, Nelson, Lawrence, Winthrop and David. It, too, echoed the same talk of world domination via a new world order. In 1959, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund announced, 7. We cannot escape, and indeed should welcome, the task which history has imposed on us. This is the task of helping to shape a new world order in all its dimensions, spiritual, economic, political, social. Eventually, the Rockefellers, who were instrumental in setting up the United Nations, came to view it as their own private club, 8. And each of the grandsons became powerful in their own right. Nelson Rockefeller became Vice President of the U.S. while David Rockefeller became the head of Chase Manhattan Bank, for instance. The fund devoted money to various activist groups to influence public opinion, and also relied on philanthropy as part of their propaganda. In order to gain public trust and favor, however, you need to tell the truth. To do this, they focused on recreating the perception of what's true to match their agenda, so what they said fell in alignment. If you notice any connection to what occurred during the pandemic, with fact-checkers called upon to reshape the truth to fit an overarching narrative, it's not a coincidence. In the beginning, there was public outrage against Rockefeller's empire, with people aware that he was ruining small businesses and trying to run the government. So, he hired Ivy Lee, known as the father of PR, to massage his image. Soon, the media began featuring images of Rockefeller hugging his grandchildren and giving away dimes to poor children. 9. Here again you'll notice a connection to modern-day Bill Gates, who tried to monopolize the early computer market with his software company Microsoft. Using PR and philanthropy, he was able to change his ruthless corporate image to one of a generous philanthropist. But, like Rockefeller, Gates uses his donations to grow his own wealth, as the money spent on charity ultimately ends up benefiting his own investments and/or business interests. Download this article before it disappears. Download PDF. Creating problems of global scale. In order to establish a new world order, there needs to be problems that are global in scope. The Rockefellers contacted influential people to discuss what problems would apply, settling on science as a buzzword, with global health and pandemics, along with oceanography and meteorology, as areas in need of management. They're perfect to make a global fear narrative, Cummins says. 10. He paraphrases a statement from Nick Hudson, chairman and founder of Pandemics Data and Analysis, PANDA, who stressed the importance of scrutinizing any global issue calling for the world to come together to solve it. As you can see, these issues started decades ago, but really ramped up during the pandemic. 11. He says if you see anything coming out that's apparently a global problem that we all together need to address, but the only permissible solution is a global one and will involve handing more power authority to global organizations. And if dissent is in any way crushed or pushed against and censorship in any way or there's a static idea of the science and a consensus claimed, which is not science, it's the opposite of science. Science is always debating. If one or two or more criteria come together, he said you do not need to look at the, you don't need to look at the math, you don't need to look at the science. You know it's a scam if those conditions are met. In the 1950s, the Rockefellers picked up Henry Kissinger, who mentored Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum co-founder and chairman. 12. Kissinger recruited Schwab at a Harvard International Seminar, which was funded by the US CIA. 13. The Rockefellers and early WEF affiliations can also be tied back to the Club of Rome, a think tank that aligned with Neo-Malthusianism, the idea that an overly large population would decimate resources, and was intending to implement a global depopulation agenda. Then, in 1972, a United Nations meeting about climate change was held to come up with a plan to manage the planet in a sustainable manner. This led to the creation of Agenda 21, Agenda for the 21st Century. 14. The inventory and control plan for all land, water, minerals, plants, animals, construction, means of production, food, energy, information, education and all human beings in the world. The Great Transition. Much of the New World Order's plans are based on crisis management, and the idea that a great crisis will occur that will lead to the Great Transition, where globalists will swoop in to save the day, transforming society into the promised paradise. The idea of the Great Transition came about in 2002, as the 2000s were deemed crucial years in pushing Agenda 21 forward. But the COVID-19 pandemic ultimately served this purpose. Cummins explains. 15. The pandemic, truly was a trigger. It created horrific dystopia mandates. Anti-science became the new science. Every single thing in COVID was anti-scientific. Essentially, in the end, we know that, but it was a trigger for a massive splurge of all of their climate strategies. Transgender society atomization strategies have exploded, and there's also a massive change in immigration. We don't want to get into immigration in this discussion, but it has been many times identified as a way of breaking down nationalism. The United Nations made it clear we need to destroy national, we need to destroy sovereign nations. Meanwhile, WEF introduced stakeholder capitalism and its Young Global Leaders program, along with the idea of managing problems using public-private partnerships. WEF's Young Global Leaders program, 16, which is essentially a 5-year indoctrination into their principles, with a goal of creating world leaders who don't answer to their people but to their bosses at WEF. Graduates include Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, France's President Emmanuel Macron, Alicia Garza, who co-founded the Black Lives Matter movement, and even actor Leonardo DiCaprio. 17. WEF's annual Global Risks Reports started in 2004 to outline the most severe risks we may face in coming years. They then put together working groups, composed mostly of multinational corporations, work on the big agenda. In 2019, WEF entered into a strategic alliance with the United Nations, which called for the UN to use public-private partnerships as the model for nearly all policies that it implements, most specifically the implementation of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, sometimes referred to as Agenda 2030. 18. Agenda 2030 is composed of 17 Sustainable Development Goals with 169 specific targets to be imposed across the globe. The Great Reset is launched. Soon after the COVID-19 pandemic began, global leaders and WEF began calling for the Great Reset. For instance, in June 2020, King Charles, then the Prince of Wales, announced he was launching a new global initiative, the Great Reset, along with WEF and His Royal Highness Sustainable Markets Initiative. 19. A tweet from Clarence House stated, 20. Hashtag The Great Reset Initiative is designed to ensure businesses and communities build back better by putting sustainable business practices at the heart of their operations as they begin to recover from the coronavirus pandemic. Embedded in this future world order will be widespread digitization, data collection, and digital IDs intended to track and trace the global population. The United Nations Summit of the Future is scheduled for 2024, honing in on the triple planetary crisis, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the Ukraine war to instill fear and propel their agenda forward. Described as a once-in-a-generation opportunity to enhance cooperation on critical challenges and address gaps in global governance, reaffirm existing commitments including to the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, and the United Nations Charter, and move towards a reinvigorated multilateral system that is better positioned to positively impact people's lives. 21. This is but one more checkmark toward reaching the new world order the Rockefellers first dreamed up so many years ago. In order to survive in this brutal climate, a new societal contract will be necessary, they'll say, one in which we all become citizens of the world. As Cummins says, 22. So, the citizens that were sovereign and national, we had all this beautiful diversity around the world and people traveled between all cultures. We now are all responsible as some kind of global pawns to help commit, to fix the made-up nonsense crises that they've created. And a big part of the plan will involve readying for the next crisis, and obeying their orders on how to react when it occurs. They'll put emergency platforms into place under the promise that they'll dissolve once the crisis is solved. But if the crisis never ends, neither will their new authoritarian regime. Nordangard adds, it's a very big part of this, so everyone should be prepared for a crisis, and they will also have protocols that tell them what to do when the crisis hits. Everybody has to obey. 23. For more details and documentation of this important history lesson that's rarely told, be sure to pick up a copy of Nordangard's book, Rockefeller, Controlling the Game.